Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike MCC Pop. So this should be a short one. I just wanted to get one out there. Again, the podcast stands for comics that are crowdfunded, print on demand, and other. And then the P is for podcast. So yeah, it's a long acronym, but CC Pop sounds pretty damn good. But it also sounds like it could be like K-pop. So who knows? Maybe I'll get listeners wanting to listen to some music, and then they'll get this and say, what the hell is this? But anyway, this is the second episode. For this particular episode, there's a lot of adult content. There's a couple of Kickstarters that came in. One which is a kind of an interesting story because I got one of those famous emails from the Postal Service that they essentially take the envelope that the package came in, and it's all ripped up, and they put it in one of their envelopes and say, sorry, we lost your shit. We're sorry it's inconvenience, but we ship billions of packages every month, and we're sorry we lost your stuff. So, yeah, I got one of those. And I saw that it was from the UK, but I have supported five or six Kickstarters from the UK. I didn't know which one it was. Sorry, I took a drink of Mighty Mango, a naked drink. But the weird thing is I didn't know and I couldn't trace it to which Kickstarter. I knew it was one of the six, but I couldn't. But the weird thing about the situation is I went for a walk. I went to walk my dog. And I put on 11 O'Clock Comics. And they were interviewing Tony Esmond. And he started talking about Atomic Hercules. And I'm like, holy shit, that could be it. And then I went back to that envelope and I saw it came from Esmond. And I'm like, oh shit, this is it. So thanks to the coincidence, I was able to track it. And I went to the 11 O'Clock fan page on Facebook, and I said what happened, and he replied, and he sent me another set out of his own generosity. He paid for shipping. He sent me, I had supported a Kickstarter that had issues 1 and 2 of Atomic Hercules, and they came in along with a third book. He gave me an extra one called Tony Esmond is a Movie Star. And the day that I got them, I sort of read them right away. It was a Friday. I got out of work. And it was just like it hit the right spot in terms of humor and just mindless entertainment. This is a story about people getting stupid. And sort of getting lazy and forgetting how to man the nuclear arsenal that the world has. And the nuclear arsenal devastates the world. And there's not a lot of life left, but there's pockets of life left. There's robots and mercenaries, and there is some humanity. But one of the demigods is around, Hercules. And this opens up in a bar, and Hercules is at a bar, and there's all kinds of weird-looking mutants and aliens, and he's getting a blowjob by this weird alien creature and drinking beer at the same time. And then mercenaries attack, and they're from the mutant rebel front, and they're here to blackmail and get Hercules to fight for their cause. But before that happens, he pretty much beats the shit out of some of them. But you learn about some crazy creatures. You learn about some crazy things that are happening. You learn about some of these robots that he's fighting. They're genetic, anatomically correct, by the way. One thing that you'll notice is the art is by Adam Flapp. And I guess he does the colors as well. But it looks a lot like that Black Mask book, that Space Raiders. I forget what. I'll have to look that up for you to tell you who the creator is. Because he has this art style and the colors down. And this looks a lot like it. So if you're into Space Raider, what was this? Space. I don't know what it's called. Space Riders, sorry. Memory's going. So this has had two series. The second one hasn't finished yet. It's from the artist Alexis Zurit. And the writer was Fabian Rangel. And that's what this book reminds me of, at least artistically, and even in the sense of humor that this has. And then he goes to fight a giant robot in issue two. And as you open up the first page, there's a Hulk homage image of Hercules holding up the foot of this giant robot. But if you remember, there's a Hulk cover with Hulk like holding up a rock, and that's that same homage. And it's just like a larger than life fight scene. There's unicorns getting molested by these robots. It's alter insanity. And I hear there might be another one coming. And then you'll also, for those of you that do read it, you'll also enjoy like homages to funny ads like X-ray glasses and sea monkeys and that kind of stuff. Even that Kung Fu guy that used to be in the Marvel Comics, Count is in here. There's a lot of crazy stuff. And I think you'll enjoy it if you have a sense of humor and you like art that's sort of like, if you go, you could probably find some pages of Atomic Hercules and see if you like it. I really enjoyed this. And if you're in the mood for mindless entertainment that you don't have to think about and just sit back and want to laugh a little bit, this is for you. Sorry, I have to take a drink. The next one came, this Kickstarter turned around, I think, fairly quickly. This one I already taped up, so I'm going to have to get it out of the package. But this is Surfer Girl Kickstarter, and it's listed as shaderoz.com. Synthetic Reality is the publisher. And I really didn't know what I was getting into when I ordered this, but damn, it was entertaining. And it also has a lot of sexual situations. So if you're not into that and this is adult content you don't want, what I can compare it to, it's like Cherry Pop-Tart. But Cherry Pop-Tart was sort of a little more pop culture references and trying to be funny, like in a Mad Magazine type style with a lot of sexuality. This one's more like if you were to do something like Cherry Pop-Tart, but put her in a situation of she's just a girl in real life that wants to surf and gets caught in the predicament that a lot of people might get caught in. She can't pay her rent. She doesn't want to hold down a job, you know, and she just is an entertaining character and very naive, very naive. The renter is looking for money. She escapes out the back and runs into her friend. Her friend is an older guy. He looks like a bum. He looks like a sailor bum. And this guy always, I guess he... Does she call him Pops? She always asks him to put like lotion, like suntan lotion on her back before she goes and surfs. And this guy grabs the lotion, and it says motion lotion, but it's kind of funny. And he squirts it on her back, and then he's like, he laughs and he goes, huh. And he actually pulls out his wiener and masturbates on her back and rubs that plus the ocean on her back, and she doesn't know the difference. She's like, Benny, thank you, I owe you big time. And she takes off back into the water, where she runs and she surfs for like an hour or so, runs into this huge naval ship with a bunch of Navy guys. They don't look like Navy guys at all, though. They have like large, they're not well haircut, you know, like they look like pirates, sailor pirates. And she takes them to the chum dumpster where her sister is a barkeep. Actually, it's her mom. Her mom is a barkeep. And she says, "Mom, I need to rent a room." And she knows what her daughter's going to do. You know, she's going to try to make money so she could pay her rent sexually with these sailors. And what it is it's like a big orgy. And they pay her with this coin they say they got from an island. And she's so stupid that she's like, "Oh my God." You know, like, she thinks it's a lot of money. And then her friend, the one that put the suntan lotion, says, "I have a whole bottle of these coins. They came from the old amusement park that closed down, so they're like worthless." So all the money she earned, she didn't earn anything, but her friend gives her a map of a hidden treasure, and she decides, well, you know, maybe I can go out there, look for this hidden treasure, and be able to pay my rent. And then she gets sucked in, and there's like this huge Cthulhu-like creature with a lot of arms, legs, and drags her down and has an eyeball in the center. And it says maybe it'll be continued. But I just found it, like, really entertaining. This one, I didn't know what to expect. It's called The Erotic Misadventures of Surfer Girl. And I love the way the artist, let me give you the creative team. The creative team is, it says created by Shade, so maybe he does everything in here. And the thing I really like about his woman, Surfer Girl, is she has a body type that looks human. Like, it looks more natural than anything, than like comic book art would, like, blow up the breasts and blow up the hips and exaggerate things. This looks like the shape of a real woman. I kind of like that about this. And yes, again, it has some rated X type features, kind of like, more so than Atomic Hercules, because it's explicit. In Atomic Hercules, you see things, but they're exaggerated, like robot stuff, robot parts, or you'll see something and it's an alien, but you'll just see the head. You won't see what's happening. It's all implied. So, yes, the Surfer Girl, this one I would also recommend. So if you're into those adult-type comics and you like that type of art and campiness, I would definitely check out both Surfer Girl and Atomic Hercules. And that will lead us to another comic. This one is purchased at Walmart. It was Bass Reeves number 2. And what this story focuses on, like, it's like has historical references. It's a Western. It's about Bass Reeves, who was one of the first black, like, marshals in the Oklahoma territories. And you can Google it, find out all about you need to know about Bass Reeves. But this is a comic book about him. And this was the second issue. I guess the full title of it is called U.S. Marshal Bass Reeves. And it's written by Kevin Grivox with art by David Williams. And if you heard Kevin Grivox, he's done a lot of Marvel work. He's done a lot of stuff, but he came from the Hollywood side of things. He did the Underworld series. I actually went to a panel in San Diego Comic-Con where he was talking about Underworld, and that's where I first met Kevin. And it was a big one, too, because he was in Hall H. Hall H is kind of like where they do all the Hollywood stuff. And that was the year that they had, like, Halle Berry. I saw Halle Berry and Angelina Jolie there in Hall H, which was pretty cool. I can't remember what Halle Berry was promoting. Maybe it was Catwoman. And I can't, Angelina Jolie, maybe Tomb Raider, I don't remember. It's around 2006 time frame. But Kevin Grivox was there with Underworld cast, and they were talking to him about the creative process and stuff. But anyway, he did Bass Reeves, and the art is by David Williams. And the story kicks off where the last one did, except Bass Reeves is just catching criminals left and right. And I think some of these might be historically correct on what he was bringing in. And, you know, he brings in them and brings in the criminals and then goes on to the next. And he's, like, super efficient. They say he's not literate, but he is, like, incredibly smart. Like, he didn't know how to read, but he could track down people and hunt them, and he was incredibly strategic and smart in doing so. So he the first part of the issue talks about that. The second part of the issue deals with his son. While he's away, you know, he's got a wife and kids back home, and his son is trying to fit in to the society, you know, society that they're in, and they're trying to peer pressure him into stealing something from the local Western grocery store, and he does. And this is a Western, if you hadn't heard about it already. But in the process of doing so, he's the one that's caught. The sheriff knows Bass Reeves, you know, says, I'm not going to press charges, but here's what happened. He tells the mom, and then she has to let the father know. And the father feels, you know, Bass Reeves feels like a failure because he's like, here I am away from home, doing all this stuff, and my son's betraying me. He's going against me. And the mom, you know, the mother of the wife of Bass has to sort of tell him, hey, no, that ain't the case. You know, he's doing this because he wants your attention and he loves you more than anything. So we'll see where all that goes in Bass Reeves number 3. That comic is incredibly expensive for a Walmart book, and I don't know how the success of this publisher is going to work, because I was able to... The first round of Alliance books I absolutely loved. I thought they were all 5 out of 5s. And then I went to... I wasn't able to get them at Walmart. I went to eBay, and I got a full set. And then the second wave I was able to get easy, and they had more of the first wave. So there's a lot of them out there, and I don't think a lot of people are willing to spend $5 for a, you know, 22-page comic book. And I think the value is there. And it's almost like you're buying a Kickstarter. Kickstarters are like $10, maybe even more, because you pay for shipping and handling. But these are more value. So I, in my mindset, I kind of just treat them like a Kickstarter. And then I was just talking to my co-host. I was like, I wonder when the Demigod Kickstarter will come. And Demigod is from Bart Sears, Ron Mars, and Andy Smith. And it's with Andy Smith art, Sears and Mars on the writing. And I had just received a Jungle book. It's called Jungle Lords. It's a flip book with Ultra on it that was an Andy Smith. And it didn't come from Animus Press. It came from Andy Smith, 2019 publishing. So I was always curious why, when Ominous came out, I met them at a convention. I don't remember if it was Baltimore or Heroes. And I bought a lot of their stuff. And I've always been into Bart Sears and Andy's, you know, stuff. Andy Smith. They did Exo Man of War back in the day together. They did the first, some other cross-gen books. They did in Wizard, Babes and Brutes, all kinds of stuff. And when this Kickstarter came out, I was like, wow, they're not going to finish it at IDW? Because IDW published issues 1 and 2. And I hadn't read them yet, but I bought them. I was kind of waiting for the rest of the issues to come out, and they never came out. And I saw when this Kickstarter was there, it says we're going to finish the story as a Kickstarter. And I was like, you can get a hardcover, you can get a trade paperback. I chose the trade paperback. It collects issues 1 through 4 of Demigod. And I guess this is a Hercules-themed episode because this is a cross between, I guess, the Trials of Hercules and Prime, or something like a kid becoming a hero, except this kid is not a little kid like Billy Batson or the kid that's Prime. Those kids were a lot smaller. This kid is like somebody out of high school that's kind of working a dead-end job and doesn't know what he wants to do. You know, does he go to college or something like that? He's kind of that age. And yeah, Aerosmith's playing in the background. Hopefully you can't hear that. But if you do hear it, I apologize. But that's what this book is about. Is it opens up, and it's one of those series where Hercules is sort of talking to the screen. He's like, hey, let me tell you your story. And he's talking to you, the reader. And here's how I got this. And it, there's a lot of gods and stuff that are after him. There's like a pantheon that are out to hurt him. And he doesn't know why. But he's in love with this coworker of his. They work at a store called Sluggers. It's like one of those sports bars. And he's talking to his boss. And his boss got a recent bat. And it has a Babe Ruth signature on it. And it came from a very specific game. And he's telling the history of it. And he's really good friends with his boss. Like, he really likes his boss. It's like his, one of his best friends. And anyway, the girl that he likes, his boyfriend comes in and starts getting very aggressive towards her. And the boss has to go stop this from getting any further. Well, that guy kicks the boss's ass. And then this kid gets involved and throws him into the display where the Babe Ruth bat is. And when he picks up the Babe Ruth bat, a huge three-headed Cerberus shows up. That's that three-headed dog. Comes crashing through the window. And they're like, he shocks that boyfriend. And they're like, what the hell is going on? Well, he grabs that bat. And he like turns into Hercules. And the bat turns into a club. And that dog is going to kill the girlfriend. But he jumps in front. And as Hercules, he kicks that dog's ass. He actually turns into Hercules. Which is not a Hercules in a sense, you know, dressed like a Greek or any of that. He actually has a red costume. And in the center of the costume is a big H. And he's built like Bart Sears and Andy Smith would draw them. Really muscular. So he has this costume. This costume is sort of, he morphs into this costume. And he appears, he's just learning about it as he fights a bunch of gods and all kinds of things. And he's in love with this girl. And through the whole issue, he's protecting her against various monsters. This guy called, he has a weird name. It's like Y something. Lord Isidius is the one lord that's trying to capture him. And then he sends this guy who looks like Lady Deathstrike, kind of with laser claws and things going into his head like venom. And I think this guy's like Y Sound or Y. God, he's got a weird name and I can't remember what it is. Let me see if they mention it again. Y-Wave. And when Hercules says it, he says it like Y-Wave? Like Y, W-H-Y. And he fights this guy to a standstill, destroys a lot of the property. The police want to arrest him. And then he gets recruited by this Mr. Gray and this guy Jason Steele. No, his name isn't Jason. It's just Mr. Steele. And we don't know why what that's going to lead to. But it's basically a story of Hercules, this guy that could turn into Hercules. And he never has turned back. Since he turned from the kid into Hercules, he never turns back. I'd recommend it getting it if you like Bart Sears, Ron Mars, and Andy Smith. I think it's worth getting. It's very light in tone. If you like their work that they did on the first, if you like their XO, you'd probably dig this. If you like Prime from Malibu Comics, you probably dig this. If you like Atomic Hercules, they both have a humorous tone to it. You'll probably like this. So that is Demigod, which leads me to my last Kickstarter. This one came with another Kickstarter. I ordered some more Evolution comics, and this one came with one of the other ones. It came with Freaky Tales, and it was POM, and it stands for Piece of Me, a celebrity-empowered magazine, and it also features the Unit. And it's weird because the cover has the Unit on it and not POM, but it says it's a variant, so I got sent a variant cover. But there's this guy in prison, McDougal. I really like this one, by the way. And he's getting transported in prison to another prison. I think he's getting transported for some kind of trial, and he must have done something really, really bad. But this organization finds out about his transport, and he's like, they're trying to trick how he's going to get to his destination. So they send out like three caravans, not just one caravan, three armored caravans. And they said, well, we're going to have to attack each caravan and make sure that we get to this guy, McDougal. And it starts off like that. And then elsewhere, there's this woman in her panties, and this guy comes and says, hey, baby, I made you breakfast. And she's like, what? Who's this guy? What did I do? Oh, man, did my friend set me up with the guy again, and I got drunk and ended up sleeping with this guy? Oh, but he's kind of cute. I don't mind. And then he turns on the TV to wake her up, and it's talking about her trial of Brittany Armstrong. And she's on trial, and she needs to show up to court. And she's like, holy crap, I'm late. So she's looking for her purse. She's looking for her ring. She's looking for everything that she needs. And she busts this guy's door down and takes off and actually dresses in the sky as she's flying, because she got to get to court on time. And meanwhile, there's that organization that is looking for McDougal, and they attack the transports and the police, and two kids show up, and they like armor up, and I don't know what their story is, because it's pretty badass. Like, one carries a hammer, and then there's a female that armors up, and they try to stop these guys from taking this criminal from the transports. And I know one of them has like powers of hallucination, because the one guy looks and he turns into like this snake-headed Medusa, and he's like, what the hell? And he's like shooting everywhere. Da, 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 da. And they are sort of going to get defeated, and our main character, the female, flies over and says, what's going on? She says, we could use your help. And she doesn't help him. She flies off because she's got to go to her court date. And then some criminal shows up, Baransu, and he looks like a samurai type character that's going to fight these two kids, and I don't know what's going to happen from there. But I immediately went, because I didn't order this Kickstarter, it came as part of the Kickstarter, and I saw that there's a POM too, and I missed this Kickstarter, and I'm like, ah! So I tweeted him and try to see how it's the best way to get it. And I'm sure there'll be a POM number 3 in which I can order, you know, the 1, 2, and 3 again, or work something out. If hopefully he'll get back to me and tell me how to get the books. I think they have a digital presence online, and the reason I think it's digital is because the cost of the books are really cheap. And I would think if they're print, there'd be at least $5 each. So I got questions for him. Hopefully he'll get back to me and I'll figure out how all this works. So the second story in the back was called The Unit. And it features a bunch of superheroes. Jaya, who's Nature's Vengeance, kind of like Gia, but it's spelled G-A-I-A. And then there's this guy, Armageddon. He's got quantum powders, and he's the leader. Ultimate, who's super physical and a sensory perfection, a walking arsenal. And we got Plato the Alchemist, and she's a philosopher and a body snatcher. And she seems to have, like, all kinds of, like, godlike powers. And they're fighting zombies this whole episode. And they find the zombies are coming from an alchemist, and they need to take down the alchemist. And there's a space station that has these superhero groups, kind of like Stormwatch. And this guy's interviewing a new character, and she's like, I don't know if I should take the job. I don't want to work amongst gods. And he goes, you're pretty powerful. We wouldn't have recruited you if you weren't that powerful. And she says, no, I have, you know, they talk about her insecurities, and he's about to eject her. And she says, you know what, I'll take the job. And they put her on their mission immediately to go fight zombies with her. And she's got, her name is Shakti, and her powers are energy generation manipulation. And it's, she says, it's listed as reckless. I really like the art on this. Also, there's a guy, Genesis, who kind of looks like Mentron, and he's more machine than he is human. But Palm was created by Marcel Dupree. He's kind of like the main driving force on Evolution. And Joel Kotajar, and the art is by Joel as well, and it's really pretty good art. And on the backstory, I think the artist is different. But let me go to find out who the art team is. Maybe it's on the back. And I love that it's by Marcel Dupree and Guido Martinez with art by Scott Jones. So, yeah, and they have some ads in the back, and I don't own these books either, like Against the World and I Want It Now. And Delilah Blast. Harpies I do own, which is one of the series that I was able to pick up. So, yeah, another quality book. And just to let you know some of the Kickstarters that I supported recently, let me see if I go to the website here. Right here. And I'll just read off some of the last ones that I've supported. Right now it's on Palm, number two. I went and found out it did have a... and now I'm starting to be more track-wise, like what came in, what didn't come in. The last ones that I've supported are Unbeaten Hearts, a vampire horror novel. Stealth Hammer, Superhero Meets Sci-Fi, Tech, and Mythology. That one is from my friend Ryan Drost of the Star Joes podcast. Met him a couple times. Really nice guy. Support his project. And he looks like he's going to do it. He's asking for a lot, in my opinion, as a rookie. But it looks like... his first one failed. His second one looks like it's going to happen. He's getting the word out. He's going on podcasts. Hopefully he'll get there soon. And then Palmiotti and Johnson's Pop Kill issue 2. I haven't read issue 1 yet, but I got the Amanda Connor cover, and I tend to get all of Palmiotti's because they're just so good. And very reliable Kickstarter. And then also, so two of these are from friends. The other one's Ninja Nuns, Bad Habits Die Hard. This is from Bob Franz. I met Bob a long, long time ago from my Geek Brunch podcast. And this is when Heath Holland was still on the podcast. And he was a radio host at the time. He had a sports morning show, and he's got a real raspy voice, and he's a real, really cool guy if you meet him at a convention. At the time, he'd hang out with Drew Moss, who's also a an awesome guy. But Bob Franz has done two books, Metal Shark Bro, and there are two trades that are out, which also get published through Scout, but he offers Kickstarter editions way before the other books. And I've supported all of his projects for the most part. And I've really enjoyed Warrior Nun stuff right now. And he's got one called Ninja Nuns, Bad Habits Die Hard. And they are characters that came out of Metal Shark Bro. So this is like fleshing out their stories. So I think all of these you can go to Kickstarter right now and try to back. So those are the ones that I've backed recently. And if you need to reach me, Mike@comicbooknoise.com. You could also send me clips. Just tell me who you are, what your Kickstarter is, and your audio clip on what you're trying to promote. I'll put it on the show. I'll put it right at the end of the show after I'm done. So if you have a Kickstarter you want to promote, if you have a Kickstarter that you love and you like to read and you want to record a small clip, you could send that to me too, and I'll put it at the end of the show. And that's my email. And you can tweet me and give me a heads up, at Mike Myers Brunch. That's my Twitter handle, and it's spelled M-Y-E-R-S. And I think that's about it. I'm located at thegeekbrunchpodcast.com, and I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. And if you like this, you might check out Mike M's weekly reads, Geek Brunch, Geek Brunch Retrocast, Mike M's Collector's Corner, all on the Geek Brunch feed. And then you can go to the DC Noise feed, dcnoisepodcast.com, where I do a DC Spotlight, which kind of features a new comic and something old, whether it be movie or comic book series. That's what we do on DC Spotlight. And then DC Everything Else. It's a podcast about DC comics that are not superhero, that are not mainstream, like romance, war, western, sci-fi, all kinds of genres, horror, everything you can imagine. So give that a listen. And I want to thank you for listening. And we'll be back in probably another month with some more Kickstarters. I hope you enjoy these. Let me know what you think. Bye. Have a good one.